Says the hand of the Lord was on me. I read from NET version. Says the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and placed me in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. He made me walk all around among them. I realized there were a great many bones in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said to him, Sovereign Lord, you know. Now, to me, this message is quite deep. Ezekiel was given some very deep revelation by the Spirit of the Lord. He was taken to the valley that is full of dry bones. You know, and I looked into my dictionary and I saw that a valley is actually a low point or a lower part of the land, sitting between higher parts. A valley is a depression, rift, hole, gully. A valley is a depressed area of land washed out by the conspiring forces of gravity, water, and ice. Conspiring forces. And you know, in Micah chapter 1 verse 6, there was a curse. You know, when God was, he said, I will turn Samaria into a heap of ruins in an open field. Vineyards will be planted there. I will tumble the rubble of her stone walls down into the valley. So you can see how a valley is placed, where they throw the rubbles and what have you. And today, you know, this month we are talking about family, actually. And unfortunately, many homes are operating at a low point or at the valley today. There's a depression around many homes. Depression, valley. But in the case of Ezekiel, this particular situation, it wasn't just a valley that Ezekiel was taken to. The Bible said that valley was full of dry bones. It said it was, in verse 1, it says it was full of bones. To have a valley full of bones means that death has occurred. You see, you can't get to a place and you see bone. Before you will see bones, the body, what covers the bone must have gone. There must have been death. Death does not just occur without reasons. And most of the times, it happens through some kind of sicknesses. Death. That is why you see, whatever kind of, way a person dies, doctors will still have something to write about it. Because it borders on the health, the life of that person. They will write that he died of so-so-so. Somebody will just sleep and die. You will see here, maybe it's cardiac arrest, maybe it's something. Something has given way. That is how death occurs. Remember the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. The verse 1 of that scripture says Lazarus was sick in verse 1. In verse 14, he was dead. Jesus was saying it. He was dead. In verse 17, he was already buried 4 days. In verse 39, they reported that he was stinking, smelling badly, foul odor, foul smell. If not for Christ or for Christ's intervention, it will have moved to the bones that we found in Ezekiel. Because after that foul smell, after the body decays, it will now be the bone. But Christ intervened. Now, you know, please just make sure that you follow the way I'm going. Ezekiel was taken to the valley and he saw dry bones. And because he saw dry bones, it means that death had occurred. But death does not just occur without some form of sicknesses. And then when you are talking about sicknesses, I want to tell you, unfortunately also, that so many Christian homes are sick. And when there is sickness, two things can happen. It's either you get ill or you die. That's what can happen with sickness. Now, I said many homes are sick. Many homes are sick. Love have been thrown out of the window. Fathers and mothers are no longer one. They speak different languages. Parents and children are at opposing camps, different camps, saying things that are not same. Many children are in confusion, no bearing, no parents to be proud of as mentors. They can't be proud because of the way their parents do. Some children, the parents are good, but the children have moved away from the counsel of God. So there are sickness in so many homes. Some do not honor their parents again. And in fact, many are lost. You know, a parent, a child that honors his parent will not do things that will make the parents sad or tarnish the image of the parents. They will not. And one thing about somebody who is sick is that the fact that he's still alive, at least a sick man is still alive. And because he's sick, he still has feelings, but no fun. A man that is sick cannot no enjoyment. He can't have fun. So when you are in a home that is sick, you are just there. You still have feelings, but you are not enjoying life. No more enjoyment. There is anxiety. When somebody is sick, there is anxiety. There is pain. The other party will be like, you know, a sick man is a burden to the person taking care of him. So where there is a sick home, there is burden. Sicknesses may lead to a bad end and even death. Some symptoms of sickness, I checked also, I said, okay, what has, if attended to early, you know, if somebody is sick, and it's attended to early, it can be cured totally. But why it is left unattended, it can lead to some permanent scars or even fatality. Just like they always tell women, check the breast, check to see if there's a lump. Now, if a lady checks right at the right time and it discovers, something can be done. But if you allow this thing to fester for too long, something bad can happen. That little lump can become something else. So, that's why the English people will say, a stitch in time saves nine. So, what are the causes of sickness? For a man to be sick, I went through and I read and I saw that they said, what can cause sickness? Could be stress or anxiety can cause sickness. They said food poisoning can cause sickness. They now also said viruses or bacteria can also cause sickness. So I now added something to it. I said reckless living can also cause sickness. And how do I mean reckless living? Somebody who drinks anyhow, drinks to stupor, will be sick now at the end of the day. So, when you talk about stress now, you know, that is what brings about sickness, causes of sickness. Stress or anxiety in marriages. Stress and anxiety can come as a result of financial pressure. It can come even from children, your children. Having children can bring anxiety and pressure and stress. Childlessness can bring anxiety and stress. In-laws intervention can bring anxiety and stress. But one thing is this, in normal life, stress, most of the time, is something that, what causes stress is something that you may not be able to do anything about. For instance, somebody who does not have a child, it's not your fault. Someone who has a child that is maybe sickly or whatever, it's not your fault. But When you see a man that is stressed, or they don't have, what they have control over is their reaction to what brings that stress. Your reaction. The same way, when there's a stress in homes, the reaction of the players will determine the outcome of everything that will happen, or of that particular stress factor. Then I saw food poisoning. And when I saw food poisoning, and I looked at it truly, when you are taking food poisoning, most times it's not that you put poison in your food deliberately. Maybe something that has fermented, then some bacteria will enter, some things will happen, and then you now eat, and there's a problem. Now, and when you now look at marriage, food poisons, so to speak now, can occur as a result of exposure to culture or associations. They say, that is how we do it. This, where I come from, this is how a woman, my wife must kneel down to serve me food. That is the culture. I am the man here. Some also will say, my husband is meant to open the door of the car for me before I enter. This one is not opening. What sort of man is this? At least, where I was brought up, my family, my parents, that is how they do it. So culture, we bring poison into the home. Wrong friendship, we bring poison into the home. Third parties and outside factors, generally, food poisoning. It will bring stress. It will bring destruction into homes. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupt good morals. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25 says, do not make friends with an angry person, and do not associate with a wrong, wrathful person, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Psalm 26 verse 4 to 5 says, I do not associate with deceitful man or men, or consult with those who are dishonest. I hate the mob of evil men and do not associate with the wicked. Remember Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, Eve took counsel from an outsider, the serpent, and ended up having the home jeopardized. Now note, the plan of God for Adam and Eve was to live. But their actions brought death. Also, the plan of God for marriage is healthy. But many times, couple's action brings sickness or death. Now, I said anxiety or stress can cause sickness. I said food poisoning can cause sickness. And I also said viruses can cause sickness. Or, you know, bacteria. Now, in the context of my message this morning, I will see that as demonic influence in homes or marriages. You see, 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verse 6 says, he, that is talking about Manasseh and Ezekiah's son, passed his sons through the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom and practiced divination. People practice divination. Omen reading, that is enchantment, and sorcery, which is witchcraft. He set up a ritual pit to conjure up underworld spirit, that is familiar spirit, and appointed magicians, which they call wizards, to supervise it. He did a great amount of evil in the sight of the Lord and angered him. Some families are under demonic attacks due to jealousy or other reasons. They are just... Somebody just is just not happy that you are okay, and they will attack. Acts 16:16 says, now, as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, another version says damsel, a slave girl met us who had a spirit that enabled her to foretell the future by supernatural means. spirit of divination. She brought her owners a great profit by fortune telling. You see, it's funny. Many people who have issues with their spouses today, they have that issue because one prophet or a spiritualist has told them that the wife is the problem. Some of them, they will tell them, your wife is a witch. Your wife has some, is doing juju. Your wife has used your Azuki. What is Azuki in English? He has used your good fortune. Have you good glory? Thank you, ma. Your wife has taken your glory. That is why she is this. That's why she prospers. And you are struggling. Now, what that lady did, the Bible said that she made a lot of profit. Those prophets, all they are how to do is to make profit out of your foolishness. Some people, some women also, they will tell them, those spiritually, they will tell them, it's your mother-in-law that is your problem. It is your mother-in-law. It is somebody in your family or your husband's family that is the problem. And then you start to carry that on your head, your foolish self. And then you will leak that and your home is already in distress. Because you are listening to prophets and some funny, reckless spiritualists. And they make profit out of your foolishness, stupidity. May God deliver us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, I now added, you know, I said I added my own. I said reckless living. Recklessness. Many times, sicknesses are caused by reckless living. A man who indulges in excess eating, drinking, smoking will end up sick. Someone who sleeps around may end up badly. I remember when I was quite young and I was a very terrible boy on the street. And then all of a sudden, one particular day, I wanted to go to the toilet to ease myself, wahala. To do wahala. Now, and I was a correct boy in society. To now go visit hospital, problem. How will I explain this matter? Because I have caught wahala for myself. But thank God I had one doctor friend who I could hide, and then I was healed. That is what people can take. Some people will now go out and bring HIV. Some men go out, they bring HIV to their wives. Some go out, they bring different things, hepatitis, whatever, because of reckless living. When you are reckless in marriage, reckless living involves not giving attention or thoughts to your words, what you say, your actions. And so you make mistakes and you cause harm or damage. A reckless spouse will treat the other as a thing or an item. He will have no respect for his or her feelings. He will not care about his or her needs. A woman or man who doesn't value or respect the spouse is careless. When you take your spouse for granted, you are careless. Couples who don't care about the well-being of their children are careless. Couples or some parents who are so reckless, some parents are so reckless that they expose their children to negative things. They are reckless. They cannot even think about the future. They don't care. Reckless people. A reckless man is selfish and does not care about what happens to the spouse as long as it's not negatively affected. They don't care. Recklessness is lack of discipline. It is being flippant. A reckless man does not really care about his soul. And you know the acronym for recklessness is foolishness. So a reckless man is a fool. Proverbs 15 verse 5 says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but whoever eats reproof shows good sense. Proverbs 17 verse 21 says, whoever brings a fool into the world does so to his grief, and the father of a fool has no joy. So you look at you, yourself, and you are acting foolishly. Look at it, your parents are grieved. Your parents can never be, no parent will be proud of a foolish child. Now let's go back to our text, Ezekiel 37. Verse 2 of that scripture says, the valley was full of very dry bones. Very dry bones. Meaning there were many dead bodies in that valley for so long. In the same vein, many homes are just in the valley today. They are not just in the valley, right? Right? They are not just in the valley, but they are dead. They are dead and dry. Unfortunately, many so-called Christian homes are in this situation. Some homes are dead already. There are a number of couples whose spouses are dead to them already. No feelings, no emotions anymore. They are dead. Remember the story of a woman. We had a story of a woman that sat in the church, and the pastor said, widows should come out. And she came out. Ah, the husband said, didn't you hear? They said, widow, widow. He said, yes, am I not a widow already? And they are seated together. So, to that woman, that man was dead. And how many are seated? How many are watching me? That they are sitting together, sleeping together in the house, but they are dead to each other. They are not just in the valley. Some are in the valley where pressures are, where there is depression. Some are sick in that valley. Some are dead and buried in the valley. Now, the thing is about dead is that some dead bodies are buried in the homes. Do you know that? There are some dead bodies, they do their burial, they bury their, in their houses. Some, they bury them far away from the houses. When you see the ones that are buried in the house, they are those people that are together, but they are dead to each other. They are dead. The ones that are buried outside, that are buried in the cemetery, those ones are the people that they have divorced and everything has been sealed and delivered, completed, everything gone. Dead. Isaiah 38 verse 18 to 19 says, indeed, Sheol, that's the grave, does not give you thanks. Death does not praise you. So when you now see homes that are dead, and then the man will come and be saying, hallelujah. The woman will be saying, you are not praising nothing. The dead don't praise. The dead cannot praise. What kind of praise do you render? In John chapter 11, that I mentioned, you know, this the way the man was sick and everything. Mary and Martha explained the reason for the death clearly in John chapter 11, 21 and 32. They said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In essence, the absence of Jesus was the reason the death happened. Also, homes are dead today because Jesus is not present. Or they did not allow the Holy Spirit to have his place in the homes. But in verse 12 of that scripture, say, therefore prophesy and tell them of Ezekiel. No, Ezekiel 11 says, he said to me, son of man, these bones are all the house of Israel. Look, they are saying, our homes are dry. Our hope has perished. We are cut off. That's what the people are saying. They said, there's no more hope. In your situation, you know, my question today is, can the bones live? As I'm talking to people who are saying, you can't understand. What these people were saying to God here was that, look, it is late. Look, it is late. That's what they are saying. But Ezekiel said to God, when he asked the question, he said, Lord, you know. But when Mary was answering Jesus Christ, Mary said, by now, it stinketh. By now, it's smelly. Because he had been buried. So, to her, she cannot conceive that there could be solution. Why will God ask Ezekiel? Why would God be asking Ezekiel that kind of question? When, in actual sense, God said in John 11, 40 to 41, that if you will believe, nothing is impossible with God. So God knows that nothing is impossible with him. Why will he still be asking Ezekiel? The reason is simple. He knows that it is possible for your home to be revived. He knows that it is possible for your home to be healed. He knows that things can change, but he needs your cooperation. He wants to know your mindset about it. As you are seated today, is your mindset of the ones that say, no, God cannot do it anymore? Or do you still believe that God can do it? I've seen people that are totally divorced. Certificate, marriage certificate, taken back or given back to court, divorced, and they came back. I've seen that. I've seen that. So it is possible, but what is your take about it? And one of the things I want us to know, Jesus will not do for you what you need to do for yourself. In John, in verse 39 of John 11, it says, take ye away the stone. It's not Jesus Christ that was coming to take away the stone. He said, Lazarus, come forth. It's not Jesus Christ that will come forth. It's Lazarus that will come forth. He said, loose him and let him go. It's not Jesus Christ that will come and loose him. There is partnership. So, if you are saying to yourself this morning that the bones can still live, then you need to act. You have a part to play. But if you make up your mind that it will not work, note, you are working against the counsel of God. And then you are God's enemy. Because God said, I instituted that marriage. Institution. It's an institution. And God is the one that brought marriage into the world. So once you are working against it and you have made up your mind that you are going to kill it, watch out. You are killing what God has made. It is dangerous. But if you are willing to cooperate with God, Luke chapter 3 verse 5 says, every valley will be filled. So if your situation is that you are in the valley, it says every valley will be filled. Ezekiel 13:23 says, therefore you will no longer see false visions and practice divination. I will rescue my people from your power, and you will know that I am the Lord. You will make sure that you are in line with God by stopping and not allowing those people to mess up your head anymore. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. My question again, because of my time, can these bones live? What God is asking you today about your marriage, about your home, is saying, can these bones still live? Yes, I believe it can live. But God needs your cooperation. Let us rise up. Can these bones live? Will you let him? When Ezekiel agreed with God, he started to prophesy. He started to do. He started to act. And then God started to help. Everything may not be 100% one day. God taught us that from Ezekiel's example. Stage by stage, flesh came. You know, this came, bone came, sinews. Eventually, everything worked out. But there was a willingness. Are you willing to let the bones live? Talk to your God this morning. You know where you are. You know whether you are in the valley, where there are pressures around you. God can still stop it at that point. You know whether you are sick. God can heal your home. You know whether you are dead already. You are dead to each other. But God can resurrect. The Bible says it's the resurrection and life. It can cause resurrection to take place. Maybe the bones is already dry. But we saw the example in the example given by Ezekiel. God Almighty can still bring everything together. But are you willing? Are you willing? Talk to God. Let God have his way. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, it will be nice for you not to just listen and go. Make sure that what the Spirit of God is telling you, you act on it. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Please work on it. Let no pride cause you death. And you know the funny thing? If care is not taken, when the devil wants to strike, and God has warned, if you refused, death can strike. A real wickedness of the devil can occur because the edge has been broken. May the Lord deliver us. May the Lord save our souls. It shall be well with you. It shall be well with your home. Everything that is not good in your home, the Lord God Almighty will change it for good in the name of Jesus Christ. Where you have been crying unto God for your secret, God Almighty will answer those prayers and will keep you safe. it will bless you. This week we answer unto us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.